Amen. That was fantastic. Thank you, ensemble. Beautiful songs. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. We ended 2 weeks ago. Nehemiah 9, verse 38. Verse 38 actually ended that message, but it starts this message. And that's because that's what all of chapter 10 is about. It's about what it says in verse 38. Because of all this, we make a sure covenant. A sure covenant. That is the title tonight. A sure covenant. It says, and because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. Why? Because it's a sure covenant. And Father, I pray that you will bless now, speak to our hearts as we continue our study of Nehemiah. Lord, what a blessed book you've given to us. What a wonderful portion that we've been able to study in the book of Nehemiah. And I pray that you'll help us tonight with covenants that we make. Lord, here at the altar, we make them in our homes, on our knees, as we read our Bibles. Lord, agreements we make with you. Christians all over this room, Lord, we've made covenants. We've agreed with you. We've made agreements. We've been very sincere. Sometimes we fail. Ultimately, God, we want to succeed, and because we want to do right. We want to please you. So help us with that tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have to imagine, again, the situation with the people here. They are back on their land. God has blessed them. God has taken them out of captivity again. Well, what a blessing that is. Anyone who's backslidden for a time and been restored, you know, it's just an amazing thing. An amazing thing what God will do. It's amazing how He still loves us, how He never quit loving you, how He never quit caring. And God's people are certainly feeling that here as we come to Nehemiah chapter 10. They're realizing, of course, as the Word of God is opened up in chapter 8, the wall is built and everybody's gathering and the Word of God is opened up. And the people are just, as they hear the Word of God, they're convicted. By the way, that is the way it's supposed to be. God's Word is convicting. And they hear the Word of God, they're convicted. But it's a celebration, and so they have to put off that sorrow and that mourning. And they make a special day. And they set that special day aside to worship God. As they worship God again, they're convicted. If all you did was watch Christian television, you would think that worshiping God is just fun and games and dancing and prancing and everything else. Worshiping God is convicting. Worshiping God, I'm talking about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and we've already talked a lot about that, but it leads to conviction. The more I walk with God, the more I see myself for what I am. The more I read my Bible, the more I see myself for what I am. It's very convicting. But I really love how we come to chapter 10 here. And the people, they make a sure covenant, it says in verse 38. Because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it. And our princes, Levites, and priests seal unto it. And the result of the worship and then conviction and confession, as I preached a couple of weeks ago, they worship God. And we saw God's name being talked about. We saw God's fame being talked about. We saw man's shame being talked about. And we ended with man's claim, which was this sure covenant. Now, you know, a covenant is an agreement. A covenant is when two people get together, a group of people get together, and they agree on something and say, this is what we're going to do. The idea of it being a sure covenant is that they had all sincerity to keep this covenant. They weren't just doing this to be religious. I think we all understand the difference between being just trying to be religious, putting on an act, and really in our hearts, God, I really want to do this. I really want to keep this covenant. Now, these people, it's called a sure covenant. They're very sincere. God, we do not want to mess up again. You say, well, they're just because they were in captivity, and that's all right. How many times are we at the altar because we've been in captivity and we want out of captivity? And we'll make a covenant. We'll make a deal with God. God, please, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to be in this situation again. Guys in the prison ministry, they hear these kinds of covenants all the time. They hear, you know, God, I'll never do this again. Just get me out of here. I'll never do this again. And so many say, you know, I'll never do that. I'll never commit that crime again. I'll never get back in here again. And it's the same idea. With all sincerity, the group came together and said, we make a sure covenant. We agree with God on our sin and that we were wrong, and we agree with God that here's what we need to do. They were so serious. They wrote it out. They sealed it like with the seals of each group here. They sealed it. Verse 38 and chapter 10 and verse 1. Now those that sealed, it starts off with the list of all the leaders here who sealed this thing. And tonight I want to just go through this, just talk about why it was made, who made it, and what it said. And I believe it'll help us understand. As I read through this passage several times, I thought about my own covenants with God that I've made. And how sincere that I have been at each time. I don't know, you know, I'm sure there's been a time in my Christian life where I maybe went forward because others did. And maybe I just went forward to pray about something or pray about a need or something like that. But there have been so many times, over and over again, where I've been very serious with God and very sincere with God and said, God, please, I agree with you. I'm wrong in this area. I need your help to get that thing right. And I need your help to keep me going the way I'm supposed to go. That is a sure covenant. That is exactly what the people are doing here. They are saying, you know, God, we really, really know we were wrong. And we believe that we can do right. And God, we're coming now to tell you we're going to do right. We're sincere about doing right. God, we're sorry we did wrong. But we want to do right. We're sincere and we are going to do right. And you know, you say, preacher, I do that every week. I come forward and I pray and it doesn't do any good. And let me tell you something. It does do good. It always does good to recognize that he's right, you're wrong, and you need work. It always does good to the result of the conviction in my heart, and it is to take it to God. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive. That's always right to do. You say, well, I'm starting to feel like a Catholic. You know, I feel like I'm just going to confession. Well, the difference is you're not confessing to a man. You're confessing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he said that's what we're supposed to do. Hey, nobody in this room is perfect. And over, if we went through and went right down the line from the pastor all the way back to the back and all the way from the back to the front here, and we went through and said, hey, have you ever broken a covenant with God? The truth of the matter is, every one of us has. Every one of us has at one time or another. That doesn't mean that we weren't sincere when we made that covenant, though, as the people here. It doesn't mean that the conviction wasn't real. It doesn't mean that, hey, you know, God didn't speak to my heart, because God did. And I think of camps, and I think of conferences, and I think of times on my face weeping before God. Hey, all of that is real. And those decisions that you make, the key thing is this, you know, just like God's people here, you know, sometimes you have to renew that covenant. And you have to go back as they did over and over again and get that thing settled and get it right with God. It is so much like our responses to God, this sure covenant at the altar call, decisions we make as we read our Bibles, a sincere, really, from my heart, a sincere agreement with God. God, you do this for me, and here's you know, this is what I need to be doing. A sure covenant. Number one, why it was made. In verse 38 It says, and because of all this. And we have to go back to the previous chapter, chapter 9. I'm not going to go back and re-preach all that. But just to kind of sum that up, here's what they were feeling. Here's what was going on and why they believed they had to get right with God. And again, renew this covenant with God. God, here's what we're going to do. The reason it was made, first of all, is because of God's faithfulness to the previous covenant. God was always faithful. Do you understand? When we've let God down, He's never let us down. Oh, we may think so. We may think that things don't go the way that we want them to, and we may think that that's God letting us down. You know, how many times you said, not my will, but thy will be done, Lord, and then something happens and it doesn't work out the way you thought it should, and you get mad. Aren't you the one that said, not my will, but thy will be done? Aren't you the one that gave you knelt an altar and you surrender? You said, I surrender all. And then, tragedy comes. You know, what are you doing, God? Well, you surrendered all. You know, do you trust me or not? Do you believe me or not? And again, God's always faithful. You know, they realized that God, in His faithfulness, He chose them. They were God's chosen people, and they should act accordingly. You know, how many times does that get to you as you think about, hey, God chose me, and God has a purpose for my life, and God sent His Son to die for me, and I ought to act like a child of the King. I ought to act like one of the King's children. They were back on their land again. God was faithful. God had taken care of them. God had brought them back. God had allowed them through a miracle. As we started the book of Nehemiah, it starts off with a miracle of God allowing Nehemiah to come back, and the king who should have not even cared about Jerusalem, and the king helped pay for the wall being restored. You know, it all started off with that. And there they are, back on their land again. And God has been faithful. And by the way, God was faithful to forgive them again. And He's faithful to forgive us every time. And He has forgiven us over and over again. Anyone who is backslidden before can understand the restoration process and God's faithfulness in all of that. I mean, people will get bitter at God and upset with God. But, you know, He always is there when you come back to Him and you want to get right with Him. They understood, they recognized God's faithfulness to the previous covenant. You know, whatever covenant you make with God, God always keeps His part. The second thing, I think, as to why it was made was God's goodness to them through history. And we talked about much of that in chapter 9. God's goodness. You know, the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. And God's goodness, certainly captivity gets our attention, doesn't it? Punishment gets our attention, doesn't it? Goodness gets our attention too. And the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Repentance being a changing of our minds. And you know, here somebody is going along kind of ignoring God, kind of not paying attention to God. Yes, sometimes God will deal with them in a chastening way, but so many times God and His goodness gets their attention too. And all of a sudden, God and His goodness has gotten our attention. I think, good night, look what all God has done for me and how good God has been to me. And God, I need to get right with You. And God's goodness to them through history, as we read a couple of weeks ago. You know, God's been good. We owe it to God to do right because of His goodness to us. And we come to the altar and many times and say, God, You've been so good to me. And folks, you know what? That's what we should do. Why would we wait for captivity? I challenge you tonight. You say, preacher, things are kind of cold between God and I. Things are just not the way they should be between God and I. Why wait for captivity to get right? Why not just start counting your blessings? Amen. All that God's done. And say, you know, there's a good reason for me to get back right with God and restore the covenants that I've made with God. You remember the covenants? When you went to God and you said, God, You've spoken to my heart about this. and this and this and this and this, and you came on this altar and you wept tears on this altar, or maybe it was in the teen room, or maybe it was at camp, maybe it was just last summer, and you got some things right with God, and you made agreements with God, you made a covenant with God. Hey, why wait for God to chasten you? Why not tonight just stop and think of God's goodness? We talked about Thanksgiving this morning. I understand in 4th through 6th grade, junior church, excellent message about thankfulness. And so all over, we're thinking that way. Think about how good God's been to you. Think about His goodness. You know, oh, you know, well, this negative. You know, it's just like the devil to throw in negative. Just like the devil to offset all the good with maybe one bad. Think about God's goodness tonight, because these people, God's goodness was something that got their attention very, very easily. And of course, the third thing as to why it was made, I believe, was because they realized their own sinfulness. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave this God I love. You know, isn't that us? They realized, you know, I mean, all they had to do was look back at their history. God, You loved us, and we left You. And then we went into captivity, but You loved us, and we got right with You, and You loved us, and You blessed us, and then we left You. And then we went back into captivity, but You loved us, and You blessed us, and we got right with You. But then we left You again. And over and over, and isn't that kind of our story? How many times have people come and in counseling they sit down and say, you know, I got right with God on Sunday, but on Monday I was back in the same mess. And then Wednesday night I got right with God, but by Thursday I was back in the same mess. That's exactly what they're saying. That's why we need a sure covenant and just stick with it. They realize their own sinfulness. And a safeguard, as you know, covenants are a safeguard. That's why the altar call is a safeguard. An altar call is simply an opportunity to come and make an agreement with God and do it publicly as these people did, because there's accountability. You know, somebody gets up and they give a testimony and they say, you know, here's what I'm going to do. Well, now everybody's heard that and they're watching them. You say, that's exactly why I don't ever say anything. It's exactly why you don't ever do anything. There's something about that accountability. I like it. Folks will come to me. I don't know how many folks. There's people, a lot of people in this room that have come and said, Pastor, I want to be accountable to You. Here's the decision I'm making. I want You to hold me to it. I want You to ask me about it. I want You to talk to me about it sometimes. Sometimes I've done that. Ask them about it. And they're not so comfortable then. I wish I hadn't said anything to him. But deep down, they are. Why? Because they had a sure covenant. They really were sincere. They don't want their life to be messed up. They realized their own sinfulness, and they said, we need to make a sure covenant publicly, signed, sealed, written out, and I want to be accountable to it. That's really what the altar call is all about. You know, we can make our decisions in our seat. We can quietly think a prayer. But there's something about that public. Again, nobody necessarily says their decision, but they came to the altar. There's something about that seals a decision. There's something about it. And we do find precedence in Scripture of those kinds of covenants being made in public. And again, that accountability is so important. It's so good. How many times have my own words got me in trouble? Because I've said, here's what I'm going to do. And then I try to weasel out of it, you know. And, well, you said you were going to do that. Well, yeah, but it was a weaker moment. No. No, you said you were going to. Well, but, you know, it was. And you say, well, you know, you need. But it was what I thought I should do. Sincere. Now, you think about things in your own life. And again, one of the best ways to have an altar call is to make a decision and find somebody to be accountable to. You know, you're not telling them all the details. It's just a good thing to do. RU is built on that premise, that idea that we have a group of people we talk to and we're accountable. And hey, you know what? They're going to ask me, have you done this? They may call me, or I can call them at any time. Hey, I'm having a tough time. Well, listen, don't you dare do it, buddy. So it's nobody's business. Okay, do you want to flop or do you want to succeed? Amen. Amen. They remembered God's faithfulness to the previous covenant. They saw God's goodness to them throughout history. They realized their own sinfulness. And it really came down to this as to why this covenant was made. Punishment versus blessing. Which do you want? Do you want God's hand of punishment or God's hand of blessing? If we did a survey tonight of all the children here, at least those that their home doesn't just practice time out, it practices other means. I think that probably if we said, would you like to see Daddy's hand with a candy bar coming your way or with a paddle? Honestly, God's people here, it really came down to we want God's blessing. Do you think they had a good time building those walls? Watching God provide and the walls be built and the enemy did everything they could to destroy it? I mean, I think it was a great spiritual victory that they had. And the covenant would help them to stay on the right path because they wanted God's blessing. The right path is where God's blessings are. You know, anybody in this room, you can formulate blessings yourself. You work hard enough, work some overtime, you'll produce some blessing. Right? I mean, you can do some healthy things, and you should. You know, walking and eating right and all that, and you'll formulate health. But ultimately, when it's God that keeps this thing ticking, and keeps the lungs breathing, you know, ultimately, do you want to put it in your hands or in His hands? All I'm saying is, you say, well, you're talking about making a deal with God. Well, in a sense, I'm just talking about you saying, God, here's what I'm going to do. I need your help. And God, I'm doing this because I know this is the path where you'll bless me. This is the path that is your will for my life rather than what is my will for my life. And God, I need your blessing. I have messed up enough on my own. Oh, we're so good at that, aren't we? We're so good at that. I mean, we really are. And that's what these people are saying. They're saying, you know, we've done it our way. We need to make a sure covenant with God and do it publicly so that it here's what we desire in our heart. God, we're going to obey you. Second thing, first of all, why it was made. Secondly, who made this sure covenant? And I'm not going to read through this list just because I can't pronounce all these names. But I suppose I could if I really tried hard. But the whole list here is, the whole idea is, here is, it, this was this whole group, everybody here, okay? And they were going to ensure as a group, publicly, they made a big deal out of it, we are going to keep God's word. We're going to do what is in this covenant. They wrote it out, they sealed it, the whole assembly. It's just like a church. You say, well, you know, our church doesn't do that. Oh yeah, in our constitution, we have a covenant. How many of you knew we had a covenant in our Constitution? There is a covenant. It's a very standard covenant. It's in most churches' constitutions. Let me just read our covenant that we have as a church covenant. And you all have this in your Constitution. I think we went through the Constitution, I'm going to say 5 or 6 years ago when I first came. And everybody should have gotten a new Constitution. We've had a few amendments since then. I'm going to work on trying to get that in a smaller form and get those out again. But here's our covenant, and this is a standard covenant. But, you know, it's amazing how we don't really think a lot about it, although in our hearts we know this is all right. That's why we put it in writing. But let me just read it. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of our Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love. Now, we all sincerely believe that. To strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to give it a sacred preeminence over all institutions of human origin. That would be the NFL, the NBA, all of that. To contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. Amen. That's our covenant. Amen. You say, boy, that's tough. It's not all. We also engage to maintain family and private devotions. Amen. To religiously educate our children. To seek the salvation of our kindred, acquaintances, and all others, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful to our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment. That's how we look. To avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. To abstain from worldly amusements, such as movie attendance, gambling, rock music, and dancing, to be free from all oath-bound secret societies and partnerships with unbelievers, to abstain from the sale or use of tobacco in any form, narcotic drugs, except as used for medical purposes, which now marijuana is. We're trying to decide if it's going to be a tax problem if I grow it in my backyard for my glaucoma. We're looking into that. CLA's still got to get back with us. But anyway, to... what's it say about loving the pastor? No, it doesn't say. Okay, let's see. To be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior, we further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love. To remember each other in prayer. To aid each other in sickness and distress. To cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy of speech. To be slow to take offense. But always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure reconciliation without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's Word. That's an awesome covenant. I mean, it is. It's good stuff. Now you say, wow. Yeah. But sincerely, I believe everything in there. Sincerely. Well, do you do it all the time? I hope so. I want to. Do you? And that's a sure covenant. We're very sincere about that as a church. And those who put that in our Constitution and ultimately voted on it years ago, they want this church to be that way. Amen. And that's the way it should be. Now, all the people agreed. All of them signed. You see the names here, the leaders, men, women, rich, poor, the proselytes. These would be people that had been saved from heathen groups and had joined them. Notice in verse 28, it says... where'd it go here? They clave to their brethren, their nobles, entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given. That's not what I'm looking for. Where'd it go? The rest of the people. Oh, yes. Here we go. And all they that, verse 28, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands under the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. So that would be young people that were old enough to understand the covenant, understand what they were saying. And the chiefs, the leaders led by Nehemiah, they affixed their seal. The rest of the people made an oath with a curse. In other words, Lord, if we don't keep this, then we understand what you're going to do. The whole idea is they said, we agree, God. We're wrong and we need to make this promise, this agreement with you, that this is what we're going to do. And the last thing, number three, is what the sure covenant said. And it was very simple, really. The first thing is found in verse 29. The second part, it says, to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and His judgments and His statutes. In other words, just to do right. I mean, that really is what it is. To do what God said to do. To observe it and to do all the commandments of the Lord. You have to remember, this started from chapter 8, reading the Word of God. And the conviction that took place. You ever wonder if people would read the Word of God every day? I mean, if it would have straightened out the people's lives here in Nehemiah's day, if just one meeting will straighten out their life, what if we just would read their Bible every day? It'd keep us straightened out, wouldn't it? Seems like. And if you'll remember in chapter 8, they were reminded of what they had not been doing. And for some, they learned what they had not been doing. And they started doing it. Observe and do all the commandments of the Lord. They said, we don't want to ever have it said, God, that we're not doing what you told us to do. This is our desire, God. We sign, we seal this agreement. We're going to do what you said. You say, well, they're destined to fail. But you're not understanding, again, the spirit of the thing. They don't want to fail. They don't want to fail. Hey, when you come to the altar, do you come to the altar just saying, well, God, I know I'm not going to keep this. It's from their hearts. We want to do this, God. In their covenant, the covenant says we want to do right, but then they nail down some things. Verse 30, that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. Again, separation. Talked about this in the book of Ezra. Talked about it in the book of Nehemiah. The intermarrying of heathen and people that didn't believe the same. God still says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Every one of us deals with that day in and day out. Because we're in this world, but we do not have to live like the world. And we're not supposed to live like the world. We are to be separate. We're to be different. And that is a good thing. And much of the covenants that I have made with God over the years, especially in my early Christian years, was in this area of separation. As God spoke to my heart, as God dealt with me, as I worshiped Him, as I read His Word, I realized He said, come out from among them and be separate. Many of our young people, when they go to camps, when they go to conferences, these are a lot of their decisions. To put away the things from the heathen. And to get away from that kind of stuff. Another thing is found in verse 31. If the people of the land bring ware, any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year in the exaction of every debt, observing the Sabbath and the special days. Again, in Nehemiah 8, this was something that they were reminded of. These special feasts. God said, you need to keep these feasts. Now, we're not Jews, so we don't have all those special feasts and special days. But God does have His day, which is the Lord's day on Sunday, and it should be a special day. And we should treat it that way. That's why we should be in church. That's why we should be learning our Bibles. That's why we should be serving the Lord as best we can. Observing these special days. Another thing that was in their sure covenant was being faithful to the house of God. In verse 32, it says, also we made ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with a third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God. For the, notice they're paying here. They're talking about money for the showbread, for the continual meat offering. All the things that had to be purchased. All the things that had to be provided. They said, God, we're going to provide those things. We're going to take care of those things. We agree. It is our responsibility. You've told us what to do. For the continual burnt offerings of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, for the set feasts, for the holy things, for the sin offerings, to make an atonement for Israel, for all the work of the house of our God. All of that took somebody to provide it. It took money. It took their efforts. We cast lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law, to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year unto the house of the Lord. What are they recognizing? They're saying, hey, the house of God is important. It's important for us to provide and do our part. Faithfulness to the house of God. Also the firstborn of our sons, of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds, of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God, unto the priests that minister in the house of our God, that we should bring the first fruits of our dough. You can take that any way you want. However you choose. And our offerings, the fruit of all manner of trees, of wine, of oil, unto the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, the tithes of our ground unto the Levites, that the same Levites might have the tithes in all the cities of our tillage. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites, when the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers and the treasure house, talking about taking care of the men of God there, the Levites, the priesthood. For the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offerings of the corn, of the new wine, and the oil unto the chambers where are the vessels of the sanctuary, and the priests that minister, and the porters, and the singers, and we will not forsake the house of our God. Faithful. Faithful to give. Faithful to serve. Faithful to attend. We will not forsake. This was all part of the sure covenant. By the way, these are things they recognize as to why they ended up in captivity. We're going to do right. We're going to be separated. We're going to observe the days that God said are special days. We're going to be faithful to the house of God. We will not forsake the house of our God. And that's in those three areas, giving, serving, and attending. We're going to do it. We're going to take care of it. By the way, these three areas are battlegrounds in our lives too. And these are areas where I had to make many, many covenants with God over the years. Giving. Well, we just had a covenant time with God, didn't we? What are you talking about? What covenant time in giving did we just have? Faith promise. That's what it is. A sure covenant. God, by faith. Now, God, I need your help on this faith. And then I need your help to provide. I believe you. I believe you will, God. And here's the amount. Now, some people don't want to write it down, and that's up to you. That's between, that's however you feel. It helps me to write it down because I put my name there. Not my name, but I wrote it down. And I know that, hey, God, this is it right here. God, you see it, okay? I'm not just thinking it so I can weasel out of it when McDonald's is calling my name. Actually, McDonald's very seldom calls my name. Golden Corral calls my name, all right? hello? Because, see, I remember what I wrote. When you write it, you remember it a lot better. Alzheimer's kicks in when you want to buy a new suit. What was I going to give? Oh, it wasn't that much. Yeah, I'll go get that tie. Hello? I'm just saying, that helps me. But again, you know, God, I agree with you at this amount right here. I agree. I write it down, and God, now, I know this is between you and me and my wife, and God, here's right here is the amount. Now, every time I want to waffle on that, because there are times I want to, I remember that amount. Oh, why did I write it down? You know, here, you know why I wrote it down? Because that's really, sincerely, the sure covenant I made with my God. Because I meant it, and I want to do it, and I believe it. And it's a battleground. You know, so many forsake the house of God. That's why we gave you an opportunity this year. Every year, some people say, well, you know, we want to buy something at Christmas time for the Lord. And you know, and what better way to do that than in the church? And so we gave you all this list and everything. And I trust that we would not forget about Jesus at Christmas. I mean, we'll buy some foolish stuff just because you're supposed to. I'm not going to say anything because if I do, it'll be something you gave me last year. I'm thinking of something right now. I don't know that I've got this in a long time, probably because my wife didn't show me. But I'm not going to say it. But I'm just saying, you'll go to work, you'll take stuff, you don't even care. You just, honey, go pick something up. I got to give it to the boss. And that's how I got it, Kelvin. And it's like you don't even, you know, it's who cares? But we don't even think about the Lord. That's what they're saying. They're saying, we want to think about you, Lord. We want to think about you. We want to think about you first. We want to take care of the first fruits. We want to take care of the things you said to take care of. And you know, again, serving the Lord. You know, there's some folks, come on, years ago you made a covenant with God. You said, God, I want to serve you and I'm going to serve you. And over and over, opportunities pass you by. And it's like, I've gotten out of that. You didn't get out of it with God. You need to get back to that. I mean, there's so many opportunities. The nursery, RU, soul winning, bus ministry, getting a CDL. Oh, you know, all that takes time. And that's what they're saying. They're saying, God, we agree. You deserve our time. You deserve our time. I trust you'll think about the sure covenant. Again, this is really the end of last 2 weeks ago's message. And yet, you know, what a picture it is of our altar call. What a picture it should be of our Bible time as we read and we study our Bibles and God speaks to our heart. I mean, if you are reading your Bible and there's not some time that you don't stop and say, God, here's an area that I've really failed you in, then I'm wondering if you're really paying attention to what you read. How many of you are going to read through your Bible this year? You're there. You've done it. It's going to happen. Amen. It's tremendous. There went those new cars. But I'll tell you what, I trust it's been a wonder. By the way, there was a covenant right there. Many of you made a covenant. God, I'm going to read through my Bible this year. I did. I'm going to read through my Bible this year. And now, again, that's a sure covenant. God, I'm going to tithe. Made that covenant years ago. Years ago, you've heard me give the illustration. I watched the first tithe check, put it in the plate, and I watched it as it went through the church. And I mean, sweat was beating up and dripping down my... I mean, I was scared to death. But what a blessing. And I don't know of a time we've missed a tithe since that day. But again, it was a cup. God, I agree. This is what I should do. I agree with you. And over and over and over, you think about some covenants in your life that you have made and some that need to be renewed. And you think about an opportunity, as I said, how good God's been, how wonderful God's been, how God is so faithful to you and I. And you know, perhaps tonight there'd be a sure covenant you'd like to make with God, again or anew in your Christian life. Let's all bow our heads, please.